Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back to the part two of Making the Call When Seconds Count. This is actually part two of part two, the conclusion of part two. We apologize. The final finale here of the nine keys to making the right call. That's the great thing about having a live radio or TV program. You never know what to expect. Technical difficulties pop up at the most inconvenient time, and I apologize. But let's get back to our training. In order for you to make the right decision, in order for you to be prepared, in order for you to make the right call when seconds count, follow these nine steps. These nine keys will help you every time. Key number one, as I was saying before, we were kicked off the air by some type of internet problem. Key number one, knowing your duties. What is your duty on your particular post? Your duties is not what you want them to be. It's not what you think they should be. Hey, my boss said I'm only supposed to stand here and look pretty. Well, then that's all your duties are. Well, my duty is to sit here at the gate and check IDs. That is your duty. Your employer dictates your duties. As a law enforcement officer, your boss, your police chief, your shift supervisor will dictate what your duties are. What area of the city you're patrolling in, what division you're assigned to, even whether or not to conduct traffic stops. Really? Are you serious? Are you for sure? Yeah, been there, done that. You don't understand. When you're an employee of any kind of business, your employer dictates your duties. So, if it's your duty to patrol the property, to question suspicious persons, to confront trespassers, to respond to emergencies, medical, fire, or otherwise, you need to know what your duties are, how to do them, how to think quickly, how to make good, decisive decisions. Making the call when seconds count. Number two, know the scope of your authority. I can't stress this enough. I can't emphasize it enough. I can't pound it into people's heads enough. Don't overstep your boundaries. Don't overstep your authority, and don't progressively, don't under portray your job, don't under perform your duties. Understand what they are. Understand your authority. And here are the key words. While on private property that I'm contracted or hired to be on, not private property across the street, not private property where you live at that apartment complex and you're just a tenant, not private property at the mall that you're just a shopper at. You have no authority more than any civilian citizen has on those properties. But know your authority on the property that you are the agent thereof. We teach about this. You need to learn this module. Take this module, $20. It'll tell you all about it. But you need to know your authority, your limits, what you can and can't do. That's going to 100% of the time dictate and determine what you do on that property. It's going to dictate whether or not you make a private person arrest for a misdemeanor, whether or not you are allowed by statute to make a special police arrest on that property. Number three, knowing your city and state statutes. I can't preach this one enough either. Every security officer I've ever come in contact with, I've ever talked to from day one, 35, 36 years ago, they want the responsibilities of a law enforcement officer. They want to be treated like a law enforcement officer. They want to be respected like a law enforcement officer. They want to be thought of as a professional like a law enforcement. Guess what? I want to be respected for what I know, for my experience, for my training, for my education, nothing more and nothing less. But if you don't know it, if you don't have the training, if you don't have the qualifications, and this is nothing bad, but if you have no education, no training, no degree, it's hard for you to be respected if you don't know what the city and state statutes are, if you don't know the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony, if you don't know the difference between disorderly conduct and aggravated assault. I was saying before we got kicked off the air a few minutes ago, if you got a call, you're on patrol in an apartment complex, and you got a call, lady comes over and goes, excuse me, fellas, someone just backed up into my car. Someone just hit my vehicle with their vehicle. You have to understand what that constitutes under your statute. That person's trying to leave the property. What kind of crime is that? Is that a criminal offense? Is that a citable offense? Is it a moving violation? Is it a parking violation? Is it a misdemeanor? Is it a felony? What level of response should you have at that moment? What should you do? How should you respond? No. Somebody has been involved in a traffic accident, even if it's a hit and run. You have to quickly assess your response level. You have to quickly assess the crime. You have to quickly digest the information and be able to process it quickly. And knowing your state and city statute is going to help you to do that. If you don't understand that backing into a person's vehicle and leaving the property is only leaving the scene of an accident, a citable offense in most cases, which means a ticket, a misdemeanor, the lowest of lowest crimes, if you don't understand that, you will not understand how to proceed, how to respond, what level of response you should have, and therefore, you're not going to be able to make the right call on seconds count. That's how people get in trouble. That's how security officers find themselves in cuffs, in jail, in prison. Just in the last 2 weeks in Houston, Texas, a security officer was involved in that very scenario. While patrolling an apartment complex, he was told by a tenant, hey, security guard, somebody backed up and struck my vehicle, causing minor damage. He's over there. The security officers, two of them, rushed over, both armed. I don't want to pretend like I know what happened because I wasn't there, obviously. But from everything I've heard, read, and seen, the security officers confronted the man. He blew them off. And the bottom line is he supposedly got in the vehicle. The security officers felt threatened. One security officer opened fire on the unarmed man, shot and killed him. The security officer has now been arrested for murder, number 14 or 15 of the year so far, charged with aggravated assault or murder. You see, in that scenario, in that situation, that was a minor crime. We're talking about possibly property damage, possibly hit and run if he left, possibly failure to surrender license or identify at an accident scene. that response required notification of the police, getting a license tag, low-key response until something more happened, until the offender became aggressive, and then you escalate your response, your actions, making the call, making the right call. Anybody can make the call. Every quarterback, every Monday morning quarterback can tell you how their favorite football team should have played Sunday on the field. Everybody can tell you how to do your job better until it comes right down to the moment when they have to make the call. So understand your city statutes, your state statutes. Every city has ordinances. Every state has state statutes. Understand the difference. Understand the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony. If you don't understand that, you're not going to be able to respond adequately, effectively, or intelligently to a call, to a problem, to a situation. You're going to use too much or too little force. You're going to be too little or too aggressive. Number four, practice. Role play. What if scenarios? Even if your company doesn't want to, even if your boss, your employer, your client could care less about training. We talked about this over and over again. Buford Toon, 30-year Metro Nashville police officer, brought this very topic up a couple of weeks ago. It doesn't matter what your company wants. Your butt's on the line. You have to CYA, cover your butt. So you train, you role play, you spend the extra dollars to make sure you're properly trained. Get together with a couple of your coworkers, go over some scenarios that could happen on the property where you're assigned and what you would do, how you would respond. It doesn't have to be big explosion, active shooter. It doesn't have to be big catastrophe. Hey, it could be a flood. It could be a tornado. It could be a medical emergency. It could be a fire, smoke in the building. How am I going to respond? Where's the egress? Where's the exit, the entrances? Where's the fire alarms? Who do I call? What do I do? What's the evacuation? Do we have an evacuation plan? Plan ahead. Most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. Number five, be cool-headed, level-headed. In the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle, you have to be a thinker to make the right decision. You have to be cool, calm, and collected. You've got to take everything in, process it quickly, and make the right decision to avoid prosecution, to avoid the consequences. Number six, you have to have good scene size up. We're going to be talking about that on Sunday. You have to, when you get on scene, you have to quickly size up what's going on around you. If you respond to that minor accident at the apartment complex and you don't quickly assess it, you don't quickly size up the problem, you don't quickly size up the people involved and understand they're no threat, he's no threat. Okay, so what? He doesn't want to give me his ID. I'm not going to escalate this right now. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to wait for the cavalry to come in. And then, if he needs to be arrested, guess what? Then we're going to stop on him. Then we're going to pull him down. Then we're going to take him down. Then we're going to cuff him. Then we're going to throw him in the car. Then. But we're not going to escalate something that's minor in nature. You have to have good scene size up. Know what you're dealing with. And you do that as soon as you get on scene. You quickly assess, quickly evaluate, quickly take everything in. I know it's a lot to process. I know there's a lot going on, especially when you got 5, 6 people yelling at you, stuff going on, and you're there all by yourself. Andy! He's not going to be there, folks. You have to be able to do it yourself until backup arrives. Number seven, just as I was saying, you have to quickly digest and process the facts. Not what people are saying, not what you think it is, not what you know, people are going to tell you all kind of things. He hit me. He said he'll kill me. Someone broke into my apartment. My car's been broken into. Go to investigate. Process the facts. A lot of times you're going to find out it's not what you thought it was. It's not what the person said it was. It's not what the complainant called in. Hey, I responded to enough calls in my career, in my lifetime. I can tell you, you get dispatched. It's a robbery in progress, two suspects, armed. You get there. Two teenagers shoplifted a couple of things out of the store. They're not armed. They didn't use any force. Why did you call it a robbery? Well, I thought that's what it was. No, it's a shoplifting. Oh, okay. Process the facts by having good level head, good scene size up, and quick digestion of the facts. You'll be able to make the call when seconds count. Number 8, knowing your limits. Think about it. 3 people, 3 suspects, armed, you're unarmed. Are you going to jump in there in the midst of them and say, oh, whoa, 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 hey, whoa. I'm security. What are you doing? Where are you going? Drop your weapons, please. No. You got to know your limits. Know your strengths. There's not one professional athlete, not one professional boxer, not one pro baseball team, basketball team, football team, not one military branch that don't know, won't teach, won't tell you what the limits are. They know what they're capable of doing. Even SWAT members know what they can do and can't do. If they don't have enough manpower, if they don't have enough resources, even SWAT will call for additional resources. They'll call for the bigger guns. They'll call for the tank if that's what it takes. Even though they're SWAT, special weapons and tactics, they're going to call the cavalry. They're going to call the army. Don't get yourself in a position where the rescuer becomes the person needing the rescue. Don't get in a position where the person that everyone is looking for and for the answers becomes the victim. Know your limits. Call for help and get out. Don't bite off more than you can chew. And last but not least, understanding, this is key 9, by the way, understanding that every action comes with consequences and liability. It doesn't matter if you make the right decision or the wrong decision. It doesn't matter if you saved somebody's life, if you prevented a robbery, it still comes with consequences. It still comes with liabilities. How many stories I could tell you right now about law enforcement being sued for doing the right thing, for being in the right place at the right time? Yeah, how can that be? That's the society we live in, folks. Not too long ago, I read a story about a man who was going to commit suicide by jumping over a bridge. A police officer arrived. I think this was New York, but don't hold me to it. And the police officer was able to grab the man and pull him back over the bridge to safety. The man was injured during this rescue attempt. Well, guess what he did? Guess what the police officer got handed to him about a month later? He was sued by the suicidal man for injury sustained. Yeah, that's right. He was sued for trying to save somebody who committed suicide. Every action, every decision, good, bad, or indifferent, will come with a consequence, will come with liabilities. If you make the wrong decision, oh, whew. Boy, if you haven't been there yet, and I don't wish that you would be, but if you haven't been there yet, you will want to crawl under a rock and hide. If you make a wrong decision, if you make a decision that harms somebody or kills somebody or even something worse, your consequences and your liabilities are going to be great. Understand now that regardless of location, regardless of your assignment, regardless of your post, I don't care if you're sitting on a rock pile out in the middle of God knows where, there's going to be a chance, slight, possibly, but there's going to be a chance when you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a call. I told you on my last program about being on an assignment. I had been working at this foundry when I was a young teenager and had found my way into the president of the company's office into a deluxe recliner and was comfortable. And during the night, there was a, you know, drive-by shooting. Lucky for me, you know, I was not in the front office, or I would have probably not been here tonight. But a foundry in an out-of-the-way place, who would have thought a shooting would have taken place there? Well, guess what? Not too long after that happened, maybe a year, another security officer on duty, same location, Sunday evening, early evening, a man came in on foot asking some questions, directions, whatever, robbed the security officer, beat him up a little bit. Yeah, quiet property, out of the way, nothing like that expected to happen. It will happen. You have to be prepared. You've got to have the mindset of a warrior. You've got to be like a SWAT ranger. You've got to be like a grunt. You've got to be willing to do what it takes. But in order to do that, you have to have these 9 keys. You have to know your duties, know the scope of your authority, know your statutes, practice, practice, train, train. You have to have a cool, level head, good scene size up, quick digestion and processing of facts, know your limits and call for help, get out, and understand that every action comes with consequences and liabilities. As long as you're going to be in private security, whether it be for the next month, the next year, you're going to have situations that you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have emergencies that you're going to have to respond to. You're going to have people that are going to be looking to you for answers, for direction, for protection. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? You're going to run back to the office? Wait a minute. I'm sorry you just got robbed, man, but I don't think my manual had any training on this, but if you'll just wait here, I'll go run back and get my training manual, my post orders. I'll look it up real quick. Let me see, it might be here. Oh no, they left that chapter out. Now what? Your decision or lack of it could be life or death. It could be a life or death situation. That's why on Sunday, we're going to be talking about situational awareness, situational training. We're going to be talking about preparing for worst case scenarios, how to respond, what to do, how to think quick. But let me tell you this, with all the training, I could give you hours and days and weeks and months. I could put you through a master academy. But if you're not a quick thinker, if you're not a good decision maker, I don't make decisions in my family. My wife makes all the decisions. My husband makes all the decisions for me. Really? How do you know when it's time to go to the bathroom? How do you know when it's time to go to bed? Does he tell you when to go to bed? Does she tell you how to, when it's time to shave? Yeah, actually she does. Well, then you're not going to do well in the security industry. You're not going to do well in this business. Because this is a position, a job, when you're going to have to think on your own two feet. Lives depend on it. Your own life included. When you least expect it, when you're not thinking about it, you're going to have to make quick decisions. Things are going to happen. Do you understand? It doesn't matter where you are. Maybe not. I hope that you will be. I hope that you take this radio segment tonight at heart, to heart. I hope that you'll really think it over. Replay it a couple of times. Listen to the words. Listen to everything that's been said and understand that people will be looking to you to make the decision, to make the call. People will be looking to you to do the right thing. If you're not a good thinker, if you're not a good planner, if you're not a good decision maker, if you can't do it on your own, if you won't take it upon yourself to get the training that's required to do this job, I feel sorry. I really do feel sorry for you and for the people that's going to be there depending on you. Think about it. Process it. And be ready for Sunday's show. Until then, I hope that you all stay safe. And remember, safety first, you first, and I'll talk to you soon on the radio.